Welcome everyone again this morning. Our gospel reading is found in Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. It's a familiar story, but I invite you to listen again as if for the first time. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning, we want to continue our series, Silent Night, Holy Night, and we want to look at Open the Door. How about here, like Christmas movies? Any folks out there like Christmas movies? Anybody like The Grinch? Any Grinch fans out there? How many, by a show of hands, like the animated version of The Grinch movie? Anybody? How many people like the Jim Carrey movie version? Anyone for that? And how many people just like the old-fashioned book version? Dr. Seuss, good old-fashioned books? All right, and how many have a little bit of Grinch in them around Christmas time? Does anyone here use, I see that hand. Anyone here use stale candy canes? You know, last year, the year before, all right. Yeah, there is no life expectancy on the wrapper there. How many people make fun of their neighbor's Christmas decorations? Anyone? You won't admit it, but you, okay. Two honest people. And how many people take their dog or cat and get one of those little, you know, headbands with the reindeer antlers and put on their dog or cat, right? Or even take a wreath off a parked car. And how many people just skip the Grinch altogether and you just like Ebenezer Scrooge and you just say, bah humbug to Christmas? Anybody? You know, when we think about Christmas sometimes, and the first Christmas, that first Christmas Eve, sometimes don't we paint the innkeeper as the original Grinch or Ebenezer Scrooge? I mean, don't we just think that he's at the door saying, bah humbug, I don't have room at the inn? But what if he really was an ordinary, regular guy? And what if the inn was actually full and all the rooms were taken? And he was opening the door to whatever he was able to do that evening. The inn maybe was full. I'm reminded of the true story of Zig Ziglar, the great motivational speaker, and he had a flight canceled in Chicago because of a snowstorm, and so he tried to get a room at a hotel, and so he goes into this hotel, and he walks up to the clerk, and he says, excuse me, sir, I'd like to have a room for the evening, and the clerk said, I'm sorry, we're all booked up, and Zig Ziglar wasn't deterred at all. He looked at the clerk and said, well, surely you must have at least one room that's open. Why don't you go ahead and check the guest registry again? And so the clerk accommodated him and checked the guest registry again and said, I'm sorry, sir, we're all booked up. And Zig Ziglar looked at the clerk and said, let me ask you something. If the President of the United States walked in here this evening and wanted a room, would you have a room for him? And the clerk said, well, truthfully, we'd probably find a room for him. And Zig Ziglar said, well, good. I'm pretty sure he's not coming this evening, so I'll go ahead and take his room. But what if the inn was really all booked up? And the innkeeper, like so many of us, had a life that is full and is all booked up and was just doing whatever he could. And so he opened the door to Mary and Joseph. I mean, think about it for a moment. I mean, if the inn was already booked up, he did, of course, as I was telling the children, he responded to Mary and Joseph, who were just strangers, and he opened the door, and he gave them what he had. He gave them a stable, which had a manger, in which the baby Jesus was born and laid. And in so doing, he had a part in history, the most incredible moment in all of history, when God came to us as Emmanuel, God with us. God in human form to share our life and to show us the message of love and to give his life on a cross that we might know forgiveness and grace and God's abounding promise of the resurrection. And so his life was changed. He opened the door. Think of other people in Scripture who opened the door. I think of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? And this crowd was going down the street with Jesus, and Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, and so it's believed that Zacchaeus was short, and so he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could catch a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus, in this crowd, had everybody stop. Jesus walked over to the tree and called up to Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to your home for dinner." Now, Zacchaeus could have said, "I'm sorry, I have no plans to make you dinner, let alone all the disciples. You can't come." But instead, Zacchaeus said, "Okay." He took Jesus into his home. He opened the door. He made dinner for Jesus, and his life was forever changed. I think of Mary and Martha. You don't know Mary and Martha, and so Mary is sort of more of the people person, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha sort of the doing, task-oriented person. But, you know, when Jesus came to their home, they both opened the door to Jesus, and I believe their life was forever changed. In our own lives, sometimes how do we open the door to Jesus in our life? Like the innkeeper, you know, our lives are full. They're booked up to the max. I think there's lots of ways we can do it. Of course, one way is to come to worship and open your heart and life to Jesus. I think of Martin Luther, who said, "Scripture is the manger in which Christ is laid." And so when we read the Bible, we can read the Bible asking God to speak to us and receive Christ in that way. I'm reminded of Revelation 3:20, which we mentioned with the kids and Amanda read, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I come in." And so God comes into our hearts and lives as we open the door. And so, like the innkeeper, I challenge us this Christmas to open the door to Christ in our hearts and lives and have our lives forever changed. And so that's the first lesson I learned from the innkeeper this morning. But there's a second lesson that I learned from the innkeeper this morning, which is to open the door to a stranger. I mean, think about it for a moment. The innkeeper did not know Mary and Joseph. They were some strangers out of town. It's the middle of the night. They came knocking at the door. The innkeeper had to trust enough, in his senses, to open the door and to talk to Mary and Joseph. And they were strangers. But in so doing, he ended up welcoming the baby Jesus into his home, in a sense, in the stable, in a manger. And so his life was forever changed. In our own lives, sometimes we can welcome a stranger into our life in some way, can't we? I followed in the news, there was a story, you know, there's so many sort of dark stories in the news today, but there's this great story of this gentleman, and there was a woman on a plane with a sick child, and so this man had a first-class seat, and so he let the woman and the baby, the sick baby, have this first-class seat, and he went back to coach, and she was a complete stranger, but in some way he welcomed a stranger in a way and I think was shown grace. Hebrews 13:2 says this, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for in so doing some of you have entertained angels unaware." That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, think about it for a moment. In Luke's gospel, it's sort of amazing that in the beginning and the end of Luke's gospel, there's a stranger. In the beginning of Luke's gospel, of course, is this story. I mean, the innkeeper, in a sense, is a stranger who opens the door to the strangers of Mary and Joseph. But in so doing, he ends up welcoming Jesus into the world. And in the close of Luke's gospel, you remember the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about the risen Christ and rumors of the resurrection. All of a sudden, this stranger appears among them and begins to open the scriptures to them. Well, they come to an inn where they perhaps have made reservations, and they invite the stranger to have dinner with them, and then the stranger breaks the bread, and all of a sudden it's revealed that that is Jesus. Now, of course, the most important point is it's appearance of the risen Lord, and it's a reminder that Christ is very present with us when we break the bread of Holy Communion, but it's also a reminder that Jesus does sometimes appear as a stranger in our midst, an angel unaware. Remember in Matthew 24, and Jesus is talking about the last judgment, and Jesus is talking about some of the folks. He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was without clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you helped me. I was in prison and you visited me." And the people said, "When did we see you sick and in prison and hungry?" And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." What an amazing story. How can we invite someone into our life this Christmas and open the door? And perhaps we could sponsor a child overseas, or perhaps we could invite a college student home for a Christmas dinner who is out of the country, or maybe there's a stranger in our midst, or maybe we could open the door to the homeless and help them some. I'm reminded of a story that I rather like, and the story is told of this monastery that at one time was a flourishing monastery, and there was full of monks, and people came from all over because of the spiritual vitality of this monastery. Over the years, though, had dwindled until it was down to only 5 monks. So they got together one day, and the abbot, who's the head monk there, they were talking. They said, "What are we going to do? There's only 5 of us left, and we're all over 70, and the place is sort of negative, and no one visits anymore." And the abbot said, "Well, I don't know. I think I'll go into town, and I'll talk to the rabbi." So the abbot walks into the town, and he sits down with the rabbi, and the rabbi asks him how things are going, and the abbot says, "Not very good. We're down to only 5 at the monastery now, and we're all over 70. No one comes to visit, and you know, be quite open and honest with you, the place is pretty negative." Rabbi says, "Well, I don't know. Let's open the Torah." And so he opens the Hebrew Scriptures up, and he opens to the story of Abraham, where Abraham and Sarah welcome the 3 strangers into their tent, and they give them a dinner, and then only after they give them the dinner, those 3 strangers end up affirming the promise that God has given to Abraham and Sarah of a promised son that will come to them. And now Abraham is pushing 100 and Sarah's near 90, so they've almost given up on this promise. And so these strangers affirm that within the next year, they will indeed have a son. And that son will be blessed, and that son will be one that blesses all. And from his line, the entire world will be blessed. And see, it was only after that moment that Abraham and Sarah were truly blessed. And so the rabbi turns to the abbot and says, "You know, legend is that the Messiah will come as a stranger." And so with that wisdom, the abbot went back to the monastery and sat down with the monks. They all gathered around and said, "Well, what did the rabbi say?" And the abbot said, "Well, the rabbi said there's a legend that the Messiah will come as a stranger." And I said, "Oh, really? Really?" And so the next day, things began to change a little at the monastery. They sort of lightened up on the rigid rules a little bit. And when they saw a couple picnicking in the orchard, why, they'd go out and say a joyful hello. And when they saw someone praying in the sanctuary, they'd go next to them and welcome them and pray with them. And day by day, it started to get completely different. A year later, the abbot decided to go back into town and visit the rabbi. And he sat down with the rabbi. And the rabbi said, "Well, how are things going at the monastery?" The abbot said, "Well, you wouldn't believe it. It's completely different." He said, "Well, there's a new spirit of vitality and joy that's there. We have people coming all the time to picnic in the orchard. We have folks coming all the time for into the sanctuary to pray. We're even having some retreats. And would you believe it? We have some new younger novitiates that are going to be initiated into the monastery. And you know, I think it's all because maybe we begin to think about the stranger who just might be the Messiah. Thank you for your wisdom." It all happened because they were willing to take up the challenge of welcoming a stranger as if maybe the stranger might be himself, Jesus, the Messiah. In our own hearts and lives, how can we open the door to a stranger and in so doing bless that stranger and bless them in a way that touches them and even blesses us in return? Again, we could maybe open our homes to a stranger or sponsor an orphan or a welcome summit or help the homeless. There's so many ways that we can welcome a stranger. We've been thinking about the 200th anniversary of Silent Night, and I love all the verses, but I love this verse too. "Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, loves pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth." A beautiful Christmas carol and a beautiful moment in history. Savannah and I have a couple nativity scenes at home. Of course, we have the manger and we have the shepherds and we have the magi and we have the angels. Of course, we have Mary and Joseph and we have the manger with baby Jesus. But you know who we don't have there? We don't have the innkeeper. I don't know why. Maybe we think he's the Grinch or the Scrooge, but the truth is, maybe the innkeeper ought to be there. Maybe when we find the innkeeper, we'll find that when he saw the shepherds coming and the magi coming and the singing of angels, and he saw them worshiping, he and his wife also went out and knelt down and worshiped at that first manger on that first Christmas night. Maybe in welcoming Mary and Joseph and opening the door to Christ and opening the door to the stranger, their lives were transformed too. And I challenge us to do exactly that this Christmas, to open the door of our life to Christ and have our lives forever changed, and to challenge ourselves to open the door to a stranger by doing something that shows grace in a special way that would change their life, and we might be surprised that our lives are blessed as well. I'll close with this true story. William Willimon is a fairly famous Christian pastor and author and Methodist bishop. And early in his ministry, he was in North Carolina as a pastor. He was just young. And he went to church one evening for a church meeting. It was around 7 o'clock, and the church council meeting didn't go well, and sort of a fight broke out. Of course, there's no fight like a church fight, and so it didn't end all that well, and so he was very discouraged as a young pastor, and so before he went home, he went out to the front of the church and the church sign, and he began to change the letters on the church sign, and he was discouraged, and while he was changing the letters on the church sign, this stranger walked up in jeans. He was an older man, and he said hi to Williman, and Williman said, "Hi, how are you?" And the man said, "Okay." And Williman didn't think about that much about it, but then the man said, "Well, I just want you to know, young man, that you're doing a really good job as pastor of this church, and keep it up." And so Williman said, "Well, you know, I really needed that word of encouragement, especially tonight. And by the way, what is your name?" And the man said, "My name is Jesus." And he walked off. And Williman said, "Man, you know, of all the things, of all the crazy things on this night." And so he was even more discouraged. He went home to his wife, and his wife said, "Well, Will, how did things go today?" He said, "Oh, it was an awful day." He said, "I had the church council meeting, and a fight broke out. It was awful. And then I was out changing the church sign. I was totally discouraged. And a stranger comes along in jeans, an older man. And he said, 'You're doing a pretty good job, this church, young man.' And I felt really good about that. And I asked him his name, and he said, 'My name is Jesus.' And he walked off. He said, 'Of all the crazy things,' he said, 'I'm just going to go to bed. I've had enough.' So he goes up to bed. He gets into bed. He turns off the light. And pretty soon his wife comes up, and she gets in bed, and it's dark there. And she said, 'Will?' And he said, 'Yes, honey.' She said, 'What if that man really was Jesus?'" Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that you come to us in Christmas. You come in so many unexpected ways that sometimes we miss you. So help us to open the door of our hearts and lives to you, to your grace and your life-transforming power. And Lord, help us to open our lives to those in need, even those who are strangers, that we might bless their lives with hope and peace and love and joy. And in an unexpected turn, perhaps even we shall have our lives blessed by you. Amen.